Okay, so now let's start with chapter 10, which talks about the security and compliance perspective. What is the agenda? Introduction to the scripting and our compliance perspective. What is negative testing? Basic factors that help in writing a positive and negative test. Equivalence partitioning, boundary value analysis, how to write down negative test cases. Advantages of negative testing. Is negative testing important? Pros and cons of negative testing. Top 10 negative test cases. Positive versus negative testing. And finally, our summary. So, first, we understand what is security and compliance perspective. So, our first line says, information security, compliance and governance are increasingly important. We've discussed that earlier also in the previous chapters, where we said that today's security has become a very big concern. We are seeing more of breaches happening. We are seeing more data being lost. So it becomes, and to compensate for that, what is happening is also we are having more and more regulatory compliances, governments becoming involved to try and curb the amount of hacks or the amount of leakages that are happening. So what they do is they are asking, they have built compliances to check how exactly is your system protected against a cyber attack. Is the data encrypted enough? Is there enough access controls and a lot of that? So when I'm talking about developing a system or developing a process, we need to take that also into consideration. So building appropriate controls at every step is essential. That means today it's very simple as to say that most of the times when you build an application, or if you go back to the cyber security and cyber attacks that have been happening, what we see on an ongoing basis is we see applications that are constantly being breached. Why? Because most of these applications have not been designed keeping cyber security or security in mind. Hence, having security from day one is something that you want. Secondly, if there is a breach in any form, then what is also going to happen is you're going to see a lot of problems with the system and regulations, or regulatory authorities being run. You do not want to get into that mess, even from a organization perspective or a customer client perspective. Because if the security is not implemented and if they do get stuck in a legal battle, it's ultimately going to create a bad impression on you. So you as a business analytics also becomes important that you understand the various security requirements or what are the security standards that need to be taken care of. So first, information security, you need to study the ISO 27000, which specifically talks about information security. So all your information security regulations and what needs to be followed will be mentioned with the ISO 27000. Additionally, it is so ISO basically stands for International Standards Organization, and it has various regulations for different options. What you also need to understand, ISO is a certification or a legality that I can apply for. So if the company is ISO certified, you would, and if it's, especially if it's 27000 certified, they would already have their security measures in place, and you would need to ensure they are implemented into your application also. Compliance with generic process standards, which is mentioned in the ISO 9000. So compliance with industry specific and governance standards are HIPAA. So HIPAA has to do with more with health regulation. Then we have Basel III also, which has to do more with banks. Adherence to regulatory and statutory reporting to external government agency. Now also what is important is for us to understand that maybe not in India, but outside there are very strict regulatory laws with regards to your data. So again, where exactly are you capturing data for? Who is the population that is going to be using your application or the process? Is there going to be an off-site work that is going to be done in a particular country? Is the data from other countries also that is being collected? What are the security measures that or what are the regulations that are there. So we are not stuck at HIPAA and Basel 3. If you go to the UK, sorry, EU, you have something like the GDPR, which is the General Data Protection Act. Then if I go to the US, I have the Data Protection Act. So you need to be aware about where your application is taking and what security policies that do you need for the governing. The nature and placement of controls are indicated in the process standards. So when I go to each one of these process standards, I need to understand, they will tell me exactly where the controls need to be placed within my application or within the data and what kind of controls need to be present there. So I need to ensure that those are implemented into my system also. Business analysts should understand these standards, build adequate controls in the management information system they design. So if I design an MIS, which we've been talking about for quite some time in the previous chapters, you will need to understand that when I'm designing an MIS, I need to take care of the information security that is available there. So I need to understudy, not only study the standards, but we understand them enough so that I can ensure that the IT team is able to build enough controls in the system when we are designing. Regular reviews and audit trails are required to demonstrate that controls are effective. So also, not just in the testing phase or later in the once the testing is complete, I can't just forget about the security that I've implemented. Firstly, the laws would keep updating. There would be new laws in the company, in the picture. I would need to ensure those are being implemented into my system. I also regularly need to review the system and ensure that whatever controls I placed into the system, they are working there. Secondly, I will need to even do audits to ensure that everything and anything that I want to talk with regards to the control are effective and working in a timely fashion. BA should require a checklist of controls. BA should require a checklist of controls required for the organization and specific business process to gather requirements and verify solution during acceptance testing. That means what I'm going to do is when I have I'm going to create a document that would list out the controls for the that would be required for the organization to follow or for the compliance that I've been following. And even with regards to the specific business processes, to gather the relevant requirements and verify the solutions or verify the outputs that are coming during the acceptance testing phase. How we are going to do that is what this whole chapter is about. Okay, what is negative testing? Now, in the previous slide, we just spoke about negative testing. So let's understand what is negative testing. We'll also see what is positive testing. So testing aims to create a defect-free and high-quality application. When I talk about all of that, understand what I'm trying to say is I want my application right at the beginning, even before the launch, to be of the highest possible quality. That means and error-free. So a system should be designed and working the way it is supposed to work. If I have, now imagine, if I go to a website, most of the websites today do not have a password validation. They do not have a restriction on the length. They do not have special characters. But if you go to high quality websites like maybe your email address or your bank account, they have a lot of parameters that come into effect. So what I'm talking about is when I talk about negative testing, I'm saying, is the answers working with a valid output? With the valid options, but is it also giving the relevant error message with the invalid outputs? That means something as simple as if I type a zip code. Now the zip code or the PIN code that we use in India are two different things. Or rather I should say they are the same thing in two different formats. Now based on the country, so if the person is from India, then the zip code should be like a 6-digit number. And if it is a US base, then probably it would be alphanumeric number, mostly combining of letters and numbers together. It is certain letters, then numbers, and at the end it is again letters. So what I would need to validate is, yes, it is taking 6-digit numbers, but for India, is it accepting alpha values or alphabets? It should not accept that. Otherwise, I will start getting invalid data. So this is the kind of negative testing we will talk about. The second point says different types of testing are required for achieving a defect-free application, such as functional testing, integration testing, system testing, regression testing, sanity testing, smoke testing, alpha and beta testing, UAT testing. So depends on what phase of the application you're trying to test, you would need to test for all these different tests. Functional testing is the functioning of the application. Integration testing is when I've integrated everything, how is it functioning? The entire system testing, how is it working? Sanity testing, alpha and beta testing. So again, all of these testing activities will be categorized into two groups, which is positive testing and negative testing. So what is negative testing? Negative testing is again crucial because it tests what the application is not supposed to do, what is not defined in the documents or in the requirements. So this is what I was telling you about, that I have a PIN code. Is if he's in India, it should be a pure 6-digit number. If he is out of India, then depending on that country, that kind of PIN code should be entered. Secondly, if you belong, so if I have a field which is supposed to like your phone number, and I say please just enter the phone number without the country code, and maybe I give a separate drop down for the country code. So I need to validate, is it accepting 10 digits as the number, or is it after it's accepting 10 digits, I also need to try entering a lesser number of numbers and seeing if it accepts, or I will also need to enter spaces, special characters, alphabets to ensure that it is giving the right pop-up or the right error message for these kind of values. So this is basically you're testing for things that are not mentioned in the requirements. The requirements would say enter the PIN code, but it would not say that what are the PIN code values. So that is called negative testing. Negative testing involves applying creativity to validate the application against invalid data, and its purpose is to check if the errors are shown to the user when they should be and if the application can handle a bad value more gracefully. So the logic of negative testing is to ensure that the program or the application is working as designed. That means we are testing it for positive values. That means the valid values that the system should take. But we are also trying to put in the values it is not supposed to accept and see if I'm getting the right message which will guide the user in the right direction. It would be something like the password has a combination of maybe alphabets, numbers, certain amount of numbers, certain amount of alphabets, and special characters. And I just give an error message with saying invalid password format. But have I mentioned what kind of a format am I looking for in the password before giving that message? So that is also a part of being important in negative testing. Negative testing is sometimes referred to as destructive testing, as is done to ensure that the stability of the application. So negative testing, we also call it as destructive testing. Why? Because the kind of tests that are done in negative testing could result in the entire application crashing at times. So like I was comparing in the one of the previous chapters, I was comparing the IRCT application versus the Amazon app. Like I said, that at peak times, the IRCT application would go down because of the number of transactions or because of the number of users. But we would rarely see the Amazon app going down irrespective of the number of users or the transactions that are happening on the system. So I can actually have multiple people log in to see how much is the capacity that the application can take at a certain point of time without crashing. So that would give me like a threshold for the number of people, active people on the system at any given point of time. Positive and negative testing both play equal important roles in software application quality. So we have been talking about negative application, negative testing, but understand, I first do a positive testing and then a negative testing. I cannot just do a negative testing and assume everything else that is working as per the requirement. So I will also need to do, enter values as per the system. So if it says 10 numbers, then I will need to enter 10 numbers to ensure that it is accepting the value. So other than getting the error messages, it is also important to see that the system is accepting the valid values, which is nothing but positive testing. Positive testing ensures that the application performs every function as expected, while negative testing finds ways to make the application crash and handle the crash gracefully. So, like I said, right now, a positive testing will ensure that the application is performing the way it is designed to perform or the way it is supposed to perform at each and every step. But when I do negative testing, I'm trying to test the thresholds of the system. When will the application crash? When will it not accept the invalid values? What kind of error message is it giving with the error values? Is it working? Is it not working? So that kind of a option. Negative testing involves testing different scenarios, such as entering an alphabet in a text box that should only take numeric values, entering more than the specified limit of songs in a playlist, etc. So, like I said, I'm trying to enter so even when I'm doing the mobile number testing, I will put in 10 numbers. That should go through. But along with the 10 numbers, am I putting in alphabets or symbols and checking whether it is accepting or not accepting the values? Then when I'm trying to use an application, or I'm trying to use maybe, like it mentions over here, a music app, and I make a playlist, what is the limit of number of songs that I can add to the playlist? 100, 200, 300, 400. Number of playlists that I can create. Is there a limitation? Is there a point where the system refuses to take any more values? Also, negative testing will also tell you if there is any problems with the code, or like it is your database can maybe handle only 10 playlists or 100 playlists, not beyond that. So that kind of things are revealed by negative testing. Stress testing, load testing, stability testing are part of negative testing. So I said load testing, where we are trying to check the load. Stress testing is how much stress can the system take. User simultaneously logged in, entering values too fast. Is it crashing the system? Is it not crashing the system? Switching screens too fast. So selecting options very quickly. All of that would be stress testing. And stability testing would also mean how stable is the app, when is it crashing, when is it not crashing, what is it doing, are all parts of negative testing. Basic factors that help in writing positive and negative tests. So you want to know what are the basic factors that you can use to write when I have talking about positive and negative cases. So effective testing requires optimization of positive and negative scenarios to achieve sufficient testing. Like mentioned earlier, and this is always what needs to be kept in the mind, is I'm not only going to test with positive values or the values that are ideally supposed to be accepted by the system. What I'm also going to check about is, are the negative values or the values that are not being entered into the system, when I enter those values into the system, am I getting the required output? Two basic parameters for designing positive and negative test cases is, one is boundary value analysis, another is equivalence partitioning, which we will just see. So, what is boundary value analysis? Involves designing test scenarios focused on boundary values to validate how the application behaves within and outside the boundary values. Inputs within the boundary values are considered positive testing, while inputs outside the boundary values are considered negative testing. So now I'm saying I should be able to enter 10-digit mobile numbers. So that is a boundary of 10 numbers. That is not even a boundary, it's a fixed value. But if I have something like how many pets do you have at home? So I can put 1, 2, 3, 4, and suppose I put a maximum of 10. Nobody would have 10 pets at home, but anyway, I put a limit of 10. So when I'm going for boundary value analysis, what is going to happen is I'm going to check whether it accepts all the values between 1 to 10. That means it would accept 1 also, it would accept 10 also. But I would also check whether it takes 0, whether it's taking negative values. So when I put in, is it taking values beyond 11, 11 onwards, beyond 10? And I would be checking if that, so anything that I check from 1 to 10, which are the valid ranges, I call it as positive testing. If I'm checking for 0, minus, negative value, or values beyond 10, that would come into negative testing. Equivalence partitioning involves segregating test data into various partitions or equivalence data classes, assuming that the event inputs in each partition behave the same way. Testing only needs to be done on one particular condition or situation from each partition, as if one works and all others in the partition are assumed to work, and vice versa for invalid data classes. So what does equivalence partition tells me? Now suppose it's a IP address. So my normal IP address would have a 1-digit or 2-digit and maximum a 3-digit number, something like 127.0.0.1. Now suppose I'm taking only the first three numbers, my range would ideally be from 0 to 255. Or if I'm taking the color map, so the values would go from 0 to 255. So what I will do, I will not go and enter 1, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and going right up to 256. That is not I would do. So here my partition would be for positive testing or for positive testing, it would be 0 to 225. So I will enter a couple of values between 0 and 255 to check if it is working. And if it is, we'll assume all other values between 0 to 255 are working. Similarly, anything below minus 1 to minus 255 would be my negative partition. And I would again not be entering values right from minus 1 to minus 255. I would enter a couple of values and assume that all the other values work. Valid data cases within partition comprise positive testing, while invalid data classes comprise negative testing. So, taking the example that I've just been talking about, when I take 0 to 255, those are the positive testing values, and when I take minus 1 to minus 255, they are the negative testing values. So, I basically divided the data into positive partition and a negative partition, which is equivalence partitioning. Negative testing is a must for those who strive for high standards and quality in the quality process, ensuring that the delivered software has no flaws that can be deterrent in its usage by the customer. So, like I said, something that requires a lot of security, I would need to ensure that the password is in the right format, the PIN code is in the right format. So, what am I doing? When I'm doing negative testing, I am checking that anything which is not supposed to go into the system is not going into the system. If I only want in an email address the only special character to be at the rate, I will ensure that is there. I can even, so if someone missed, like if I typed something like sheetal@gmail.com, that would be a valid positive testing result. But if I type sheetal@gmail.com and I did not put at the rate, then that should come in negative testing and it should give me an error that this is not a valid email address, because every email address, whether it's over a domain or not, it would give the how it would have the at the rate symbol. Equivalence partitioning involves segregating test data into different partitions or classes. This is what we're just speaking about, where I'm pushing the data into two different partitions, where I'm saying that this partition is for negative values, this partition is for positive values. Is partition is considered that behaves the same way. So every partition will have to behave the same way with all the data that is there in that partition. Testing only needs to be performed on one condition from each partition, or max to max to couple of conditions from each partition. You would not be doing testing for more than that. So this is what we have been talking about. If that one condition works, it is assumed that all the conditions that partition will also work. That means in this case, where I'm saying 0 to 255, I type 125 and I assume if 125 works, everything will work. Ideally, you will not do that. You will do 0, 255 and 125 just to be very sure. Here also, you will do minus 255, maybe a minus 1 and a minus 124 to ensure. If that one condition does not work, then none of the other conditions in that partition are expected to work. So one number that we take is representative of the whole partition. Okay, so also in this earlier chapter, I spoke about boundary value analysis, where I said if my limit is from 1 to 10, testing for 0 and testing for 11 is what is, since those are boundary values, I want to ensure that those are correct boundary values. So anything between 1 to 10 would come under positive testing that you see over here. And anything beyond 10 or lesser than 0 would lesser than 1 would come under negative testing, which is nothing but out of boundary values. So now what we also talking, so we spoke about equivalence partitioning, we spoke about testing for negative data, but how do I design or write down what test cases I need to do? Understand, when it comes to negative testing, you're checking what is not there in the requirement. So when I'm doing positive testing, I have the requirement checklist in front of me and I just check if this is meeting or accepting these values. But when it comes to negative testing, what I need to do is I will need to actually write down test cases that I need to run to ensure that the application, even for the values not mentioned in the requirement or out of the requirement, is behaving in the right way, or I'm getting the right error messages. So in this application, we have a social media application to test. The requirements are, it requires a username and password. Passwords must be alphanumeric and at least 8 characters long. So now do you see over here what it's saying? Saying it should be, must be, so should be, that means that is a criteria. Alphanumeric, that means it should have a combination of alphabets and numbers and should be at least 8 characters long. So I'll definitely try and put in something like maybe she or Wellinker 123. Something like that, because up to 8 characters, minimum 8 characters long. But while writing for something like this as a negative test case, what I will need to do is enter only alphabets as password, only numbers as password, special adding special characters, what is happening. I will also need to check less than 8 characters, is this giving me an error. So everything that is not written here or written here, should opposite of that will come in negative testing. The maximum limit for adding friends to the account is 2000. So what I will need to go and basically I might need to automate this in some form. I will need to go and add 2001 or 2002 friends, seeing if it is giving me an error. Like earlier, WhatsApp group used to have like 20 crew of people, 50 people, 100. Now it's gone up to 200 and beyond. But then that used to be the limitation. It would tell you can add only so many people to the group. Like if forwarding the message, you can only forward it to 5 people at the time, mainly keeping security in mind. So, the minimum age to open an account is 18. So, if that's the minimum age, I'm allowing people to enter an age, or if I'm capturing the date of birth, am I capturing a date of birth where the age is less than 18? Like maybe currently we are in something like 2023. So if I subtract maybe 8 years down the line, or sorry, 18 years down the line, so it would be 13 minus 8, so roughly 15. So am I allowing people to enter 2015 or lesser values? If it is, what is the error message it's giving me? Or am I entering even values? So here, understand, I'm talking about a minimum age. I have not spoken about a maximum age. Am I allowing people to enter a value of 200 years? I mean, we know people living up to 150 years, 150 years, but has even anyone lived up to 200 years? So is that a valid answer or is that not a valid answer? So if I'm taking a date of birth, I will need to calculate the age and ensure that everybody is at least an age of 18, and also ensure that no one is going beyond maybe something like a 150 years. So, three requirements, less test. So we will, as test case one, we will enter only numbers in the password field. Test case two, enter special characters in the password field. That's what we just spoke about. Enter only alphabets in the password field. And test case four is fewer than 8 characters in the password field. So this is for the first requirement, that the username and password should be alphanumeric and at least 8 characters long. So there would be a fifth test case also here, where I would be entering a combination of alphabets, numbers, and symbols, because it does not mention anything with symbols over here. So can you enter it symbols or not enter? Or you might need to put it down that are symbols allowed or not allowed also in that case. And if symbols are allowed, what symbols are allowed will need to be mentioned. Then for test case 6, that is for the second requirement, where I say maximum limit for adding friends is 2000. So I said we will test it at beyond 2000 people. So probably need to automate it. Manually finding 2000 people and adding them may not be the right choice. Test case 6, okay, I did not speak about this, where the birth year calculates your age as negative or anything less than 17, which will be your other test case. So you cannot even allow, say, have someone enter a date of birth which is 2024. I'm not even born. So how can I enter my age for that? Even in the minor category. Yeah, if you're talking about pregnant people, they also need to do it after the child is born. So that is how you write the create the negative cases based on the requirements that are there. So this test cases that you see will be, you will be basically creating those test cases on your own. Okay, so we have test scenarios here. I gave you all test extra test kit at 8. So 8 scenarios based on 3 given requirements. So these are the require 7 test negative test scenarios, which are 7 or 8, however you count them, that you have listed down, and based on 3 requirements that were you were given. So you'll basically, you know, writing down the test cases would make a loss of sense, because you would can just check it off your list if you have done it or not done it when you're testing the application. So just prepare a check. Maybe you would want to go through the entire degree requirements and quickly write down the test cases for each requirement like we listed down. And then you will need to you can just check everything together when you're finally checking, and check anything that is you have completed. The point here is to try invalid input and check the behavior of the app against it. So when I'm talking about invalid input, I am also checking how is the app behaving against that invalid input. Is it accepting it? Is it giving the relevant message? Is it crashing? Is it not giving me response at all? Is it shutting down without a warning? What exactly is it doing? Because ideally, if I give it an invalid value, it should give me an error same, because the validation at the backend should say that this is beyond what is mentioned or the requirement of the app. So like if I enter, if I go to the ATM system, which is also a software application, and I enter a wrong pin, it does not crash. It will say your pin is invalid. Or if the machine system is not able to dispense money, it will say the dispensing is not work. If it is not able to give you a statement, it would say that the statement is, the paper is not there. So you would get an online display, or you will not get a statement in this case. So that's what you're checking. If an application crashes or shut down without any warning or message, then it needs to be fixed and given a proper message of warning so the user knows what to do while using the application. Hasn't been that whether it is on a laptop or a mobile, sometimes we are doing something and the application just crashes and you don't know why the application is crashing. It has happened so many times with me that I'm trying to upload a story or maybe a reel onto Instagram, and what will happen is the application will just crash completely without giving a warning message. So what is happening in that case? You do not know, because when it crashed, it did not give you a proper message. Maybe you had entered the reel in a valid format. If that's the case, you need to know what formats are acceptable. Or like you're uploading something on a website, and it would mention there, this file needs to be in this format and this size. So our normal images are maybe in MBs, and it will tell you, no, maybe you should reduce the size and give it a smaller image, and it will give you that the image size is not as per the requirement. But if it just crashes without any warning message, then that is a red alert that needs to be fixed. So you need to get a proper message for anything invalid or during negative testing when you're trying working with the application.